Well, good morning. Is everyone here in their comfort zone?
Yeah.
That's a trick question.
Now, I know there are physical afflictions and financial afflictions and so on and so forth, but I'm talking about spiritually. My calling before the Lord is to get you out of your comfort zone. So let's see what we can do about that this morning. The title of my message, I assume Pastor Sherry has distributed or has had somebody distribute the scripture sheets. Every person is made up of body, soul, and spirit. I'm going to deal with the soul mostly this morning. The soul is made up of the mind, the will, and emotion. Now, emotions, love, fear, sorrow, they motivate us to do something, to have a responsive action. Right? If we just got through Halloween, one of the primary focuses of Halloween in the secular world, not in my world, but in the secular world, is to scare people, to produce physical and physical reaction, either in forms of movement or fear or escape, whatever. And so it is with teaching and preaching. Every message expects a decision.
That's good. That's right.
A decision of the will leading to responsive action. An evangelist tends to speak to the emotions to produce a decision leading to a responsive action. A teacher tends to speak to the mind to produce a decision leading to a responsive action. You've all heard many times, get ready, stay ready, and grow. Get ready is the focus of the evangelical. Let's get saved and get everybody saved.
Right.
Produce lambs. But how many know that lambs don't reproduce really well?
That's right?
Right? Sure. They're immature. The legalists, they're concerned with staying ready. Now that you're a Christian, you don't do certain things. And you do certain things. Because that's how you demonstrate that you're a Christian. I like to talk about growth. I believe that's where God's concerned. Paul was concerned. And that's been my calling. Growth, to produce a mature, perfect Christian.
That's excellent.
To produce a disciple.
That's right.
Capable of discipling others. In fact, I think that we just read Titus, and in one of the verses in Titus it says, seek out those who can be disciples and disciple others, who can disciple others. Would you believe God expects to accomplish more in the service than nice message, Pastor?
You bet.
Now, I've heard a lot of messages, a lot of teaching on the tabernacle. I've taught the tabernacle. But I don't think I've ever heard any teaching on the tabernacle as fine as we've received in the last few weeks. But has it changed your life?
Yep. Yeah.
See, that's the purpose of the teaching. Mm-hmm. Not just to know more, but to change your life.
Amen.
Now, if you'd turn that on, please. The last line is what I want. Who do you suppose David is talking about here? Who is God's inheritance?
We are.
So they're going to have glory. That I may glory with thine inheritance.
Amen.
Those who've known me for a while know that my favorite concept in the Bible is a shining forth. The shining of God. The shining of Moses. The shining glory of the saints. Only one lamb shined.
Yeah, that's right.
But one must be a perfect man to shine. Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." The soul must change for the spirit to change. Now I said, we speak in order to produce a decision leading to a responsive action. Do you realize most of you would be run out of a black church?
That's true. That's true.
You're pretty unresponsive. You know, I mean, they're talking back to the pastor all the time, or the preacher.
Amen, preacher, brother.
Amen. You got it. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Preach it.
Standing up.
Standing up, waving a white hanky.
That's right. That's right. That's true.
That's why they have amplifying systems in the church, so the speaker can still be heard over the congregation. But it's an indication that the people are hearing.
Right.
And they're with the speaker. They're identifying with what he's saying and they're responding to him. So I want to talk this morning about the comfort, the God of all comfort. That's just introduction. Well, one last comment. If you go to church, if you gather together just for fellowship and food, you waste your time,
yep,
my time, and God's time.
Amen.
You don't need to come to church for fellowship and food.
That's true.
You can have that anytime, any place, with anybody you want.
Yep.
God's here to get you out of your comfort zone, to change your life. Okay, God cares. Point number one. 2 Corinthians 1:3-7. Now I want you to know, first of all, that the word that's translated comfort and the word translated consolation are exactly the same word. Paraklesis. It means comfort, consolation, exhortation, entreaty. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. Speaks of maturity right there, doesn't it? With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You got to get something in order to pass it on. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Oh my God. I thought if you came to Jesus, everything would be wonderful. All your troubles would be over. I want you to know, and you'll see it throughout this message, that as the sufferings of Christ abound in us.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Now, elsewhere, we're supposed to have the abundant life, not abundant sufferings. But here in the midst of all this comfort, sufferings abound.
Powerful.
So our consolation, our comforting also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation or comfort and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Now, it's interesting here, and you'll see this as we go along, that in order to have comfort in suffering, you must have Christ. The expression, the Lord Jesus Christ, refers to the Trinity of God. The Lord, God the Father, the owner, the commander, the master. Jesus, the Son, the Savior. Christ, the Holy Spirit, the anointing. So when it says comfort here, it says sufferings, but comfort in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the God, the Christ, it's all right here in this section. 2 Corinthians 7. And these are the two sections, as we read them earlier this year, that precipitated this message. As I read these two sections, I thought, man, there's a lot here to think about. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, the depressed, those feeling hopelessness, but God comforts them, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation for which he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me. Interesting. So that I rejoiced even more. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, there's an emotion, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now look at these results in the next three verses. The results of their sorrow. There's a difference between true repentance and false repentance.
It's true.
Metanoia versus metamelomai. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about true repentance here. For I rejoice not only that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance.
Amen.
Amen. Your sorrow led to a turning around, a going in a different direction. For you were made sorry in a godly manner that you might suffer less loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Wow, what an incredible result. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world, false repentance, produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence, another result, it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves. What indignation. What fear or awe. What vehement desire. What zeal. What vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wow. The benefits of sorrow leading to salvation. Of being comforted in the midst of sufferings. For therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong. This is speaking of the one spoken about in 1 Corinthians 5 who had sinned so horribly. Verse 13, therefore we have been comforted in your comfort. In other words, these results of your sorrow which produced and recognized comfort in your life, has produced comfort in Paul. And we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. Now that's what leadership likes to see. Change. Responsive action. This is a consistent theme of Paul. 1 Corinthians 14, he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. 14:31, that you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Now, we're lucky if we get one prophecy in here. So that means maybe only one gets comforted. Think about that. Or maybe two people. Because the rest sit on their... so nobody else gets comforted. Or edified. Or exhorted. Because they don't listen. They don't produce a responsive change. Philippians 2:1, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. There's something to be found here in Christ. A comfort in the anointing. 1 Thessalonians, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:7, therefore, brethren, all our affliction and distress, as I'm happy sitting here on the beach with my corona. Is that what he says?
No.
In all our affliction and distress, we are comforted concerning you by your faith. I'm sitting here, he says, in affliction and distress, but I'm comforted by the changes taking place in your life.
Powerful.
Concerning your faith in action, your impact on others, your results for the kingdom. 4:18, therefore comfort one another with these words. 5:11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another. This is Christianity, folks.
Yes.
Christianity in action.
Yep.
Now we 5:14, now we exhort you, brother, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. You mean there's going to be faint-hearted in the kingdom? Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation or comfort and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Philemon, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brethren. In other words, the one he's writing to is a refreshment to others, a comfort to others. Point three, how much Jesus and Paul care that we are comforted, that we be comforted. Matthew 5:4, now this is a part of the, what is it? Beatitudes, thank you. Blessed are, 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It doesn't say their mourning will stop, but they will be comforted in the midst of it.
Yeah, right.
Romans 8, 26 through 28. Now here the word is not used, but the emphasis is, or the essence is, to comfort and to strengthen. Likewise, the Spirit, the anointing, also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Boy, if that isn't comforting, I don't know what is. To know the Holy Ghost is making intercession for you according to the will of God. Oftentimes we pray and we don't have a clue if we're praying in the will of God. But when we pray in the Spirit,
amen,
when we turn ourselves over to the Spirit, to let the Spirit pray through us, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. That sounds like the inheritance, doesn't it? Same as we have up here. You can turn that off now. I'm sorry. Romans 15:14. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The Scriptures comfort and give hope. The Word of God comforts and gives hope. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Ooh, there's a whole message right there, isn't there? And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. Same word, only paraclete. That He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Wow. I thought they already had the Spirit. Hadn't they believed in Him and been following Him for 3.5 years? Huh?
Good point.
That's why so often we say, the Holy Spirit's got to be brooding over you to lead you to repentance in the first place. When you get saved, yeah, you get the Holy Ghost. But you don't get the fullness.
Right. That's true.
You spend a lifetime trying to get the fullness.
Hallelujah.
To become mature. To become the glory of His inheritance. 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remember, whatsoever things I have said unto you. Huh. Well, I didn't get anything out of the message this morning. Well, maybe you didn't pray in the Spirit enough before you went to church.
Good point.
You got to have the Holy Ghost to teach you. I can bring a message, but only the Holy Ghost can quicken it in your heart.
Excellent. Right on.
But when the Comforter, 15:26, when the Comforter is come, who will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. I remember when we first got involved in all of this, we were still going to our mainline church. My wife had gotten filled with the Spirit. Well, we both had, but we'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the rest of the women in the ladies' group said to this changed woman, "What's the matter with you? All you want to do is talk about Jesus."
Amen. That's right.
The Spirit which proceedeth from the Father shall testify of me.
Amen.
Wow. I've never been much of a congenialist, if that's a word. I used to know two things in my life. Well, three things. My family, my God, and dentistry. Then I got out of dentistry. All I knew was my family and God. Most people don't care about my family. And a lot of them aren't interested in my God. So I'm left with nothing to talk about.
Powerful.
So if you see me not being very congenial, that's why. I have a couple guys I play golf with now, my friends. I'm delighted to be able to talk golf with them. But I don't hunt, I don't fish, I don't do all the things that the world does. So I got nothing to talk about. But I can sure testify of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
John 16:17. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Paraclete. That part of God which comforts and does a whole lot of other things. 16:22, and you therefore have sorrow, but I will now. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Here's some other benefits besides comfort. Your heart shall rejoice. And how many times did Paul say he rejoiced? No man, and your joy, no man taketh from you. That's why. The martyrs can know they're rejoicing in the Lord because no man can take away the comfort of God. Oh, I can't imagine doing that. Maybe you don't have enough of the Holy Spirit in you to comfort you yet. Huh? 16:33. These things I have spoken to you that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So folks, we're going to have tribulation, and I think everyone in here has some form of tribulation. Worldly tribulation. But you can have spiritual comfort in the midst of that worldly tribulation.
That's right.
And you can rejoice, and you can have hope, and you can have peace, and you can have grace.
Amen.
Even Peter has the same concept. Doesn't use the term in this verse, but it's the same concept. For the God of all grace, who has 1 Peter 5:10. For the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. And we have to complete his sufferings. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Become the glory of his inheritance. The mature, perfect man. Be like Jesus indeed. And what did Jesus do? He often went aside to pray. Well, how can you be off praying when there's so much to do? Look at all you get accomplished when you're doing. What do you mean you got to go pray? Well, I got to go find out what the will of God is. Point four. Let us apply it to ourselves. We must, if we expect to change. If we don't apply ourselves, we wasted our time this morning, right?
Right on.
2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure, the treasure of God's comfort and peace and joy and hope in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us. Do you know there's a difference between natural comfort and anointed comfort? Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Judges 7, so Gideon and 100 who were with him came to the outposts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. What were the pitchers made of?
Clay.
What's clay? Dust. Dust. I want you to see how these three verses tie together here. They broke the pitchers that were in their hands. And when the three companies blew the trumpets, and I'm sure there's something there, but I didn't have it right now, and broke the pitchers, they held the torches, the fire of God in their left hands and the trumpets in the right hands for blowing, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. When the clay is broken and disintegrated, the fire shines forth.
Excellent.
We got to deal with the dust of the earth. That which our flesh is composed of, in order for the fire of God to be revealed.
Good.
Jesus said, you want comfort? I'll give you the comforter. Be baptized, put on, be immersed in the Holy Spirit and fire.
Amen.
The fire of God burns away the flesh. It destroys the earthen vessel to reveal, to release the fire of God within. Is it in you? Are you releasing it? Can anyone tell? Fire is also light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And he says, you are the light of the world.
Yeah, that's
right. You're supposed to be the shining glory too. The glory of his inheritance. What an incredible verse for you to use this morning, Pastor Sherry. You had no idea how important that verse was.
Excellent.
But God put it together, you see. We have Jesus in our heart. But we put on Christ. We put on the Holy Spirit. We put on the anointing.
That's good.
That's why we believe in getting baptized in the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That's why we exhort you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Right on.
And not just once, but to use it regularly and daily.
That's right.
We all have times, whether it's intentional and purposeful and set aside, or when we're driving or cooking or making something or doing something menial, we can pray in the Spirit.
That's right.
Anytime, any place. Paul said, I pray in the Spirit more than you all.
Amen.
Well, duh. Do you think Paul, with all his writings, wrote what he wrote because he believed we'd always be so much lesser than he?
No.
He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Pray in the Spirit more than ye all.
Excellent.
And you'll get the same results. You will know the God of all comfort. How many verses did I use this morning that Paul wrote? Paul understood comfort in the midst of tribulation and suffering. Get it. grow it, release it, do it, show it. A little rhyme in there.
Excellent.
Pastor Kevin.
Felt just a little bit of that laid back, casual attitude that he has. Now, what did you sense? What do you sense? The Spirit of the Lord moving through him, that apostolic anointing that is burdened that the house of God be built and built right, and that the people of God step up to the calling of God. What will you settle for? Our lees? Love not the world, neither the things of the world. The problem is we have bought into the love of the world. And even as the Church of Jesus, we think we're just supposed to come to church, get a few verses, have some great fellowship, have some nice little food, and go home. And that's not the picture of Jesus Christ as he builds his church to be the place for his glory. What's your vision this morning? How many want the glory of God? Come on, I said, how many want the glory of God? Or do we want to settle for that which will never satisfy? What'd you get out of church this morning? Oh, I got a rhyme and a poem. What'd you get out of church this morning? I got Jesus, and I got a pastoral apostolic anointing that helped me open my eyes to see there's more, and I need to change and go for it. Anybody else? I see that this morning. I see there's more for me. Come on, let me see your show of hands if you think there's more. Then stand with me, please. Then stand with me. I believe the Lord wants us to settle for nothing less than the fullness of His presence. If we're supposed to bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, we need to be those who say yes to Jesus. Are you that with me this morning? Are you with me this morning? Lord, we say yes to you. Raise your hands high. Lord, we say yes to you this morning. Lord, we thank you for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we embrace more and more and more. Lord Jesus, we're not going to settle for that which doesn't satisfy, but we press on for the calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we're going to let go of the things that are behind. We're going to let go of the things that easily distract and easily beset. We set those to the side and we focus, Lord, our faces on you and on faith in you, and we run forward to the goodness of our God. Amen. Lord Jesus, this morning, we say yes. Come on, say yes to Jesus. Right where you are this morning, I want you to cry out to God and tell Him you want more of His Spirit in your life, and you give Him more of you. Lord, come on, just cry out with me. Lord Jesus, we cry out to you this morning. I cry out, O God, I turn aside from that which distracts. I will not settle for that which is less than what you want, O God. Baptize us afresh in your Holy Spirit, O God. Come on, lift up your hands. Baptize us afresh in the Holy Spirit, O God. Begin to step out in speaking in tongues. If you've not, this is the moment for you to receive it. If you have, receive a new prayer language. Just step out this morning. Lift up your hands. Let your voice be declaring. Move, O God, with waves of your Spirit across your people, O God. Lord, we say no to the things that distract. We say yes to you, O God. Move by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the moving of your Spirit, and you've called each of us. Lord, we're jumping in the river this morning in deeper ways. We want to go swimming in the Spirit of God. We want, oh God, the revivals to break out. We want to see you, oh God. We want to hear you. We want to know you. Dig out our ears to see and to hear you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we are called to be the light of the world as you are the light of the world. Full of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now I urge you this morning, if you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the release of the gift of speaking in tongues, the Bible says it is available to all. Come on up and let us pray for you. Be released in the Holy Spirit. If you have received this gift previously and you've let it go and set it on the shelf, I urge you this morning to repent of that and step out in faith again. Exercise the gift God has given you and watch what He does in your life. The Holy Spirit will pray through us with sighs and groanings that cannot be uttered. How many don't want to be satisfied with the world? Jesus, we want you. Jesus, we want you. Say it with me. Jesus, we want you. Again, Jesus, we want you. We put on Christ. We put on the Holy Spirit. And thereby, we receive the comfort. We're not going to be comforted by settling, we receive the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Bless the man of God who's spoken this morning. And thank you for the word engrafted into our souls and the challenge for us to go on, to follow on, to know the Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask you again. How many want to follow on to know the Lord? It's not just a one-time deal, guys. You see in the book of Acts, you see them, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and then a little later, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and the place was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and the place was shaken. Why? They needed the presence of God. They were living in a fiery time of persecution all around them. We need that move in our lives today. Amen?